WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Educators in Indiana protest. CBS's Linda Kenyon explains why they're demonstrating.
With children seated at school desks as the backdrop, President Trump made the announcement.
Today we take a very historic action that was 45 years in the making to begin eliminating the federal Department of Education once and for all.
The president says some of the core functions of the Department of Education will be redistributed.
Pell Grants, Title I funding, resources for children with disabilities.
Since eliminating a federal agency takes an act of Congress, Republicans are planning legislation. Many Democrats say they are opposed. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The NTSB recommends 68 bridges in the U.S. be evaluated for risk of collapse. They include the Golden Gate Bridge in California and the Brooklyn Bridge in New York City. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says the recommendation comes as the NTSB says that last year's deadly Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore could have been prevented if vulnerability assessments were performed.
The NTSB says fundamentally an assessment that has been recommended since 1991 needs to be done. And that's basically a series of math problems to figure out what level of risk those 68 bridges would have in the event of a vessel strike, meaning they got hit by a large vessel like a cargo ship, as we saw play out in Baltimore.
The Golden Gate Bridge District says it is in full compliance with all state and federal regulations. A Virginia judge blocks the Trump administration from deporting Georgetown University researcher Badar Khan Suri until the court rules on it. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
The federal judge did not ultimately rule yet on the Trump administration's effort to deport Suri, but they have issued a temporary restraining order that prevents the federal government from deporting or transferring him internationally for the time being. As his case sort of plays out here, that is just a temporary stay of removal.
American farmers will soon ramp up hiring for the summer, but some worry new federal immigration policies will lead to a labor shortage. KXL's Heather Roberts reports.
Narendra Varma grows vegetables and berries on his Oregon farm.
This year, I think there's a lot of uncertainty and fear in Hispanic communities, which is what most farm workers tend to be in this country.
Varma says he only hires migrant workers in the country legally and has struggled to pull from within the local workforce.
They don't want to do this work. They don't have the experience on how to do this work. They quit off. After a few days.
He says it's not about the pay, noting the wage doesn't matter if there's nobody available to take the job. Heather Roberts for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell, leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Krall, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face Brigham Young on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. Smart with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season one was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season two of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, maybe a shower or two in the afternoon, highs to the upper 40s. Then we're back into sun Saturday, cooler, highs upper 30s to 40. Rain and snow possible Sunday, currently 35 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Eager to stay updated on the latest happenings around you? Join me and my guest host, Sandy Williams, tomorrow as we dive into this week's events.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, Dago, you are right. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, Robert Lilligren, on. And Robert, thank you so much for stopping in. I know you have things going on tonight, but it's always great to hear from you and catch up. I just got to jump in real quick here. I was at the Capitol, and it just so happened to be right at the time where some senator resigned. And there was a news conference there and saw that and was just, you know, we talk about family values. And I don't know if the Republicans really are the people of family values.
I suspect they're not. So, bonjour, Robert, bonjour, Haley. Yeah, that must have been interesting. I noticed from your social media that you've been over at the Capitol quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And then for folks who aren't aware or aren't from Minnesota, we had a Republican state senator resign today after he was caught in a sting operation soliciting sex for money from an underage girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also want to mention, too, minors cannot, you know, give sex to someone as, you know, a minor. That is rape. So,
yep. And so it was interesting. At first, he was moved into our county jail, Hennepin County. He was charged with state offenses, and then they felt they federalized those. So he was actually charged with federal offenses. And so, one of the blogs I follow, the author of it catalogs these events of child sexual abuse or others, and they're often frequently clergymen, yeah. Clergy people, but they're often GOP and Republicans, right? And so it's just to your earlier comment, are those your family values?
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, I know we have a short time with you today and appreciate you jumping on. I'd like to hand it over and what you'd like to talk about today in the few minutes that we do have with you.
Yeah, I appreciate your flexibility with my schedule, and I'll talk a little bit about where I'm going because it's kind of cool, I think. But a couple of things that are going on that are Native American Community Development Institute, NACD related. One is, and I think you shared this on your Facebook page is a great story on Minnesota Public Radio about an effort that our Four Sisters Food Sovereignty initiative is doing right now, our Four Sisters Farm. And the director there, Gloria Iacono, who is not native herself, but she's a great ally. But they've been doing sugarbush here in the urban community. Yeah. And Gloria's taken a couple of years to learn a lot and build relationships and connections and partnerships and to identify trees that they could tap right here in our area. One of the partners is the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board, who 10 years ago, they were very reluctant to participate in any kind of food production. And now they're just really all in. There have been great partners. Center School, Nawahe School, which is a native school here, is partnering. South High, which is sort of the native high school here in Minneapolis, is participating in the community. And the response has just been great. Mm-hmm. In this article in Minnesota Public Radio, on Minnesota Public Radio, is just really a boost for this kind of work. And just following it on Facebook, it's been shared a ton of times. Yeah.
Very important. And, you know, every once in a while in my neighborhood here, I see people tap their own trees, but not to this extent. And I give a big shout out to Native American Community Development Institute and being the forefront of some urban tapping.
Yeah, here we go. And it's reintroducing these traditional practices, right, in the urban community. And I noticed one of my board members shared the NPR story on her Facebook page and made this point that we're trying to make sure that our urban youth and our contemporary youth are connected to these traditional practices. So here's an opportunity to do that. And what a great resource right here, literally growing in our community.
Right. When we love flying over the Twin Cities and seeing all those trees in our urban area, it's a beautiful thing. And I think people are really surprised when they come and visit here.
I agree. So that's one kind of big deal thing. The other, we've talked about it on your show before, but just to remind folks that at our gallery, All My Relations Arts, which is right on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue, I think this has actually been extended. But through April, anyway, there's a great show called Smart Wars. Mm-hmm. And the artist is Rory Wakeemup, a former All My Relations Arts. Oh, thanks, Haley, for putting that up. A former director at All My Relations Arts. Yeah. And it's just this really visionary visual that he's a through line that he's used in his work for a long time now, a decade or more, where he blends sci-fi, sort of Star Wars-based costuming with traditional regalia. And then he builds stories and narratives around them. And the show is just so much impact. Everyone I talked to that has seen it has been so impressed. So absolutely. I would really urge folks to come on down to our little yellow building. You can stop by Powwow Grounds for a coffee, see Smart Wars at All My Relations Arts Gallery, then walk a block down the American Indian Cultural Corridor to the Minneapolis American Indian Center and have lunch at Gatherings Cafe.
Yeah, so definitely.
Make a day of it. Yeah.
We have the spring equinox too happening today. Is that where you're going to celebrate that tonight?
Well, actually, I'm going to a conference. I'll be celebrating it in my heart.
Yes.
But there's an event going on that's just a really good intersection of a couple of the my interests here and my roles in the community. So I'm going up to the Walker Arts Center, which is really Minnesota's premier contemporary art center. And we talked about this before. Just this year, I started serving on the board of trustees of the Walker Arts Center, which I think is hilarious. And they've been really building authentic relationships through our gallery, All My Relations Arts, you know, authentic community relationships. Another former director of All My Relations Arts, Deani Whitehawk, is going to have a significant installation, a significant show at the Walker this fall, and we'll be doing some cross-programming in the community as well. So it's just, you know, really trying to get this non-Native institution in authentic relationship with community, authentic relationship with Native artists. And that's very enjoyable. But tonight there is a forum, a panel discussion in their Abundant Cities series, and it's called Climate, Environment, and Connection. And it's about addressing climate issues in the urban center. And the featured in this today will be work that the Metropolitan Council, and that's another role I play. I'm a representative on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council, and we've been adding art into our policy making. Yes. So that will be one of the things that's lifted up during this panel discussion today. So the chair of the Met Council will be there. I'm the Met Council member for the area. And so I'll be there as well. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's my kind of fun.
Right on. Well, thinking of fun, I really, really appreciate you being on and squeezing us in. You are a true leader in the community, and we appreciate your being on every week. It's just awesome fun.
Miigwech for all you do, Haley, Robert, Gigawaba, man.
We'll see you next week. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio up. Christy, go forth. And we're going to be talking about bikes for kids in Wisconsin. Ho-wah!
In a galaxy not so far away, the battle for truth rages on. Smart Wars is a solo exhibition by Rory Wakemup, a Minnesota Chippewa artist who flips the script on Star Wars using humor and regalia. Wake 'em Up challenges colonial narratives and reclaims indigenous values of balance, resilience, and environmental activism. This exhibition runs February 27th through April 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Everyone knows I love Rudy Luther Toyota, but do you know who else loves Toyotas? Consumer Reports. They're out with their best of 2025 auto issue, and once again, it reads Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Of the new 2025 models, Consumer Reports recommends the Prius, Corolla, Corolla Hybrid, the Camry, the Sienna, the Corolla Cross Hybrid, the RAV4 Hybrid, the Highlander, and the Highlander Hybrid. In almost every class, you'll find a Toyota. Find one for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333. 3333.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
And heck, I am awake. Hey, we have Christy Goforth here, Executive Director of Bikes for Kids in Wisconsin. Great to see you, Christy. I follow you on TikTok and really like what you're posting there. And we love having you on and celebrate all the great work that you're doing in Wisconsin and Madison in particular.
Oh, wonderful to be here. Bonjour, everybody. Thanks so much. I've been pretty busy on TikTok, haven't I?
Yeah, I've hit the little heart there. I like what you're putting up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. And, sometimes, as a nonprofit director, it can be a little dicey locally if you're really kind of being vocal. Nonprofit work is very political. And so I like the more national, international audience of TikTok. I feel like I can protest a little louder there than locally. I rely on fundraising, yada, yada, yada.
Well, it's perfect. And again, happy first day of spring. I know that's a big deal for us natives. It's a rebirthing of everything, growing. And happy first day of spring.
Yes, you as well. It's feeling very spring-like here in Madison. How about by you guys?
Yes, it is. We missed that snow. We were really happy because we were supposed to get like 10 inches of snow and then it veered south. And we liked that.
Yeah. We got about an inch. I woke up to winter, wore my big puffy down coat, and then this afternoon had it wide open and it was suddenly spring and it was overdressed. So that's all right.
That's awesome. Season, you know? Hey, I saw from your Facebook that you were at the Wisconsin State of the Tribes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Did you make it?
I didn't make it this year, but I did watch it live on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it just so empowering? I love that event of being there, just the energy. And it's kind of interesting being an Ojibwe down here. I hang out with a lot of Ho-Chunk people, and they're my people locally. It's nice to see all my, you know, Ojibwe relatives coming to the big city here. I really appreciated Chairman Fowler's words. I thought mm-hmm. he was spot on. He didn't really hold back, but he did it in such a wonderfully respectful way. Mm-hmm. Really appreciated everything he said. He said what needed to be said.
He definitely did. And I know Haley, we noticed a few things when it came to the applause meter.
I think it was when he was talking about we have an obligation to not repeat our past, you know, not let that happen. And, you know, the whole Republican side just sat there without applauding and whispering to each other while the DFLers were standing in a standing ovation. So
I agree. My jaw dropped So I don't know if this has happened to you, but typically when I go to that, we get shuffled off to a big room with a screen and we watch there, mm-hmm. just a bunch of folks. And so we're mainly, the camera's mainly pointing to the speaker. And then, but there was a time when we did and we panned the assembly and there was like an audible gasp in the room when we saw that none of the Republicans were clapping or standing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the past that I've gone, the seats seem really small up in the gallery, so I saved my knees by not going this year. Oh,
yeah, you're kind of tall, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm 6'1". I think I'm shrinking, but I was 6'2 at one time. And
I'm 5'2 at one time. I'm now 5'1".
Okay.
It's one of the blisses of being a small person. You can kind of fit anywhere.
Cool.
That's my dog shaking his ears. Did you hear that?
We love your dog. We love having dogs on. We have a sacred animal portion, as you know, with our, and we used to have our cat come in right during when my wife Wendy would come on. Oh, look at that puppy. I know all you people that are listening on the radio, you can't see this, but we can. Very cute. Well, talk a little bit. There's some things happening with bikes for kids in Madison. Tell us what's going on. I see some things that you've posted, not just on TikTok, but out and about too.
Oh yeah, we got a lot going on right now. You know, and I say that every time because you know I like pedaling in high gear all the time. That's just how I roll. So, but you know, I really enjoyed Robert's conversation about art, and art is just so, it's, you know, art heals, and I'm an artist as well, and so I've been searching for ways to integrate art into this biking. Can you guys hear me over that?
Oh, it's a duo. We're good with it. You can just, he's part of the family, so we
I'm
respect
sure
that.
Walking by the dog, that's what it is. Saying hello.
Well, if I didn't have my headphones on, our dog would start barking too. So
my cat will start meowing, and then it'll get all kinds of action going. Mm-hmm. So I've been searching for ways to integrate art in this work that I do because I find that the bike community and the art community, there's not a lot of intersectionality there. And I'm always, I'm one of these strange people. I like both of those things. And so I found two cool ways to do that this year. And one is a really special program called Petals and Pixels. And this is a small program, so it's part of our educational work. And it will be in partnership with a nonprofit here called Black Girl Magic. So we'll have 10 middle school girls who will receive their bicycles here and within just a few weeks. And when they get their bicycles, they'll all receive a journal, and they'll be instructed to journal about how they're using their bike and maybe the doors that it opens for them or things they can access that they couldn't without their bicycle. And then they'll kind of do some creative writing through the summer. And then in July and August, we'll start these workshops at the bike center with them, where they'll each get a digital camera and they'll take some photographs of things that kind of represent what their bikes mean to them. So it's not going to be like a selfie on my bike, but it's going to be a little more meaningful. And then we'll end in a showcase gallery event at My Arts here in Madison on August 20th. And we'll have all their art displayed, and it will be open to the public. And that's just, I think, really going to be profound, because I'm still always up against this challenge of people not understanding how important it can be to someone who faces transportation barriers. So that's kind of a fun and different program. That was supported by Wisconsin Humanities, Dane Arts, and the Madison Rotary Foundation.
Nice.
And then the other one is a more of a Halloween-focused event where we're going to sell these sponsorships where companies can sponsor a kid bike or an adult-sized bike or one tandem, and then they have to decorate the bicycle. So someone... we have a local radio station here, and there's a morning show. So it'd be like you and Haley. And they're going to sponsor one, and they're going to have a witch on the bike and some kind of monster. And so we'll have a field right off John Nolan as you're driving into Madison, the downtown, and it'll be on a field right there. And hopefully we'll have about 30 bicycles with little, you know, monsters and skeletons and all kinds of little spooky bikes. It's called Spooky Spokes. but really, we're trying to help people realize that you shouldn't end your biking season around Labor Day like we used to, because the climate is warming up and we can ride until November now. We have 70 degree days in November and in February too. And then really just trying to create a family fun event that's accessible by all human powered mobility devices. So that's kind of our display art, and those bikes will be on display for all of October.
Well, before we'll probably talk a little bit in the next segment, because we're going to have you on again real soon and talk about your fundraiser. But I want you to tell our audience, because I'm always blown away again by your TikTok videos where you show all the bikes that are in your place that you're fixing. I mean, tell our audience the magnitude of all the bikes that you have and have given out over the years.
Yeah. We just topped 13,000 bikes distributed just this week, because we give bikes away in three different ways. We have the in-person giveaway event, which is lovely, and people come and shop for their bike. They get fitted with helmets. We teach them how to ride. We educate them on all kinds of things about a bicycle. And we do a voucher program, which is great for organizations that don't need 50 or 100 bikes at once, but like the job center is perfect. They have someone who has just gotten a job, but there's no bus going there, so they bring in a voucher. And then bulk loads, like through the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, they come with a truck and they pick up a load. So far we've sent loads out to Nakusa School District. We've sent a load out to the Milwaukee area, the Welcome Network, which is a refugee. They serve refugees and immigrants here. And then we next have another refugee network in Stevens Point called One Big Tent. So those are rolling out right now. And then
you're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show. CBS News brief, saying the U.S. is not doing well with the world of education in this country. President Trump signs an executive order to begin the process of dismantling the Department of Education.
We're going to be returning education, very simply, back to the states where it belongs. And this is a very popular thing to do, but much more importantly, it's a common sense thing to do.
NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy makes a recommendation in the wake of its investigation of last year's deadly collapse of the Key Bridge in Baltimore.
We're urging 30 owners of 68 bridges in 19 states to perform a vulnerability assessment of their bridges' risk of catastrophic collapse.
Escalating violence in the Middle East. Air raid sirens blared across Israel today, and incoming rockets sent Israelis scrambling. This follows a day of intense Israeli airstrikes in Gaza, killing more than 80 Palestinians. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A Badgers win in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a victory today over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell, leading scoring with 19 points. Stephen Krall, 18. John Tanjay had 15 in all five Badgers players with double-digit points. Up next, they face Brigham Young on Saturday. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. It still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. Smart with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's looking more and more like we should all avoid heading to the theaters to see The Alto Knights, where Robert De Niro plays gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. That's right, he plays both roles. Despite what producers thought was a solid script and Barry Levinson directing, the crime thriller is drawing only 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not sure if De Niro playing two roles has anything to do with it, but how hard could it have been to find another actor and not rely on a gimmick? Actress Jenny Slate initially supported her co-star Blake Lively in her sexual harassment complaints against Justin Baldoni. The three actors were all in the film It Ends With Us, where the controversy started. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Slate, the star of Bob's Burgers and FX's new series Dying for Sex, says she only wanted to talk about her new show and will no longer discuss anything involving Baldoni, Lively, or It Ends With Us. All this drama will no doubt be a miniseries one day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a low in the upper 20s. Looking mostly cloudy for tomorrow, maybe a shower or two in the afternoon, highs to the upper 40s. Then we're back into sun Saturday, cooler, highs upper 30s to 40. Rain and snow possible Sunday.
Currently 35 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
More farm-related programs being canceled. Those affect more than $1 billion in purchasing local food from farmers for food banks.
These types of programs, it gets high-quality food to people who need it at an affordable price. It's a win-win-win, and it's just a really good investment in these rural economies.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will discuss if the Trump administration is defying court orders or just being cute. Plus, did the administration commit fraud and mass firings at the IRS? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with Christy Goforth, and she is executive director at Bikes for Kids Wisconsin. And Wendy and I, my wife and I, were talking in between commercials. We do listen to commercials, though, too. But we were wondering, or Wendy was wondering, how do you qualify for a bike? What do you talk us through that real quick?
That's a great question. Yeah. So the way we do that is just really strategic, because what our role in this is really collecting the unwanted bicycles, refurbish them, and then working to distribute them. So what we do is we rely on other 501c3 nonprofit organizations that are serving marginalized people, and public schools can both apply for bicycles. So in the fall, we have an application cycle that we're inching all these programs back. So they're earlier because it's so much warmer. People want their bikes before May. We used to give them away in May. This year, we moved it up to April. Next year, we're going to probably try to go for March. So probably going to be October, November, December when people, organizations can apply for bicycles. And so they apply for up to 100 bicycles. And then we wrap that up. And then that's how they actually determine who gets the bicycles, because they're working directly with all those students, and they know who's really struggling with financial challenges or transportation challenges getting to school. Or like these refugee networks, they like to have kind of a, they often will just have 20 in a storage locker. So they have them on hand when someone comes, because they often get a notice of 48 hours. Okay, you're going to get a family of five. And then they have some resources right there available to them. So what we often say is we don't give bikes to individuals. We give bikes to organizations, because it gets really tricky for us when we get a group of people that come in and say, oh, we want free bikes. You know,
That's very cool. So I want to put this out right away before I forget. How can people support you, and where can they get more information about you, about your organization?
Thank you for asking that. Yeah. Yeah, you can go to bikesforkidswi.org. We're pretty active on the socials. I would say Facebook and LinkedIn probably the most. So bikesforkidswi.org. We have a news page there, and that's where our events are. You can scroll to the bottom of any page of the website and subscribe to our newsletter. We only send one newsletter a month, so you're not going to get, you know, your inbox isn't going to be full every day. So just kind of keeps you abreast of what we're doing and what we're up to. We do accept bike donations year round. So I don't know, it's amazing how difficult it is to get rid of an unwanted bicycle. So you can try to sell it on Marketplace. You're going to have all kinds of scammers coming at you. And, you know, even if you're selling it for like $40, it can take weeks. You'll have times when people are set up to come, they don't show up, and the juice isn't worth the squeeze on that one. Similar to Craigslist. And you actually, here in Dane County, you cannot throw a bicycle in the landfill. The landfill will not accept bicycles. So if you put them out on the curb, it's often a metal scrapper that will take it. So even if a really nice bike, it's just going to get sold to the metal recycling facility for recycling a bicycle? It's roughly $2. It's like nothing. That's why the metal scrapper, when you see their trailers, it's a mountain, right? Because it takes so much to get anything. And maybe that'll change now with tariffs. It'll become more costly, steel and aluminum especially, which is what's up. So we really encourage people to bring them to us. And even if those bikes can't be saved, like often that's bikes that are 50 years old, you can't get parts for those. That's why we're doing this spooky spokes, is we're using 50-year-old, like all our vintage Schwinn's. It's one more to give them a little more life, to upcycle those bikes. They might be recycled after that event. We'll see how it goes. All the participants get to keep their you know, decoration or their sculpted bike if they want. But, you know, we're always looking for ways to kind of keep those bikes living on. So, yeah. Those are great financial donations, of course.
We've had you on before, and you talked about vintage bikes that you are selling. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I really want to get one of those Stingrays with the banana split seat like I had in the 60s.
Yeah, we get the cutest little Stingray. It'd be for like a kid that's, you know, probably like 6 years old, 7 years old. It is so cute. It's got the flames, and it's got the black leather seat with the studs. It's wow. A total chopper, you know. It's so cute. But yeah, oh, we've got, you know, a real highlight at the shopping, I'll say it's a crowd favorite, is we had someone donate a 1939 Swedish bicycle. It's called the North Star. It was manufactured in Stockholm, and it comes with the original manual, which is really cool. It's got a underneath, right on top of the rear wheel, there's a little bike rack, and it's got this little turquoise box that slides in. It's a metal box that slides in and out. When you open the box, it's got the original cloth and all these tools from 1939 in it. And so it's just like almost like a little glove box for the tool set. Got wooden grips. That was the first time I've ever seen wooden grips. And the seat is all leather. And it looks like it'd be really hard, but it is just so supple soft. It is, the architectural details on this bike are just amazing. So that's a cool one.
So what do you do with those bikes? Do you sell them on auction then to support your organization, or do you hold on to them?
Yeah, you know, we really don't want to hold on bike, right? Because we need to maximize space. So that's one I put on my TikTok, and I did a whole like tour of it and showed those details. And actually, it was like the Swedish Culture Museum of Chicago had kind of messaged me saying, wow, we're kind of interested in that. And I was like, for $400, it can be yours. Like, that should be in their museum, right? That should be in their museum. It is in mint shape, and it's gorgeous. But that's an example. So on May 10th, it's a Saturday from 10 to 2, we will do our Everything Bikes fundraising sale. So this is our annual sale where we are selling hundreds of bicycles, bikes that just aren't necessarily great for the giveaway event. These will be road bikes. These will be collector bikes like that. There'll be folding bikes, e-bikes, vintage bikes, tandem bikes, unicycles, you name it. I mean, but we'll have some really nice, like real bread and butter, you know, Trek 800s and some really great bikes, and hitch racks, car racks, baskets, locks, helmets. It's everything you could ever imagine bike related. So that's May 10th here in Madison, Wisconsin, at 10 to 2 at Bike for Kids Wisconsin.
My favorite city. And I always tell Wendy, if we didn't live in St. Paul, I would be living in Madison. I love Madison so much.
Right, I love it. St. Paul is so nice, too.
Yeah. This is a weird question, but is there any kind of group like this in Minnesota?
There is. Yeah. And it really kind of it speaks to our foundation and how we started. So we were Free Bikes for Kids Madison when we started here in 2017. And so the Free Bikes for Kids is a national organization, and it started in Minneapolis. So have you heard of that up there?
No, I haven't. I'm just amazed by your work here. So we'll have to look into that.
Yeah. And this is how we started. So we started just serving kids, just serving Madison, and open 3 months of the year. And that's the Free Bikes for Kids model. And so the thing about us is we live in a really unique city here. Even the Twin Cities, your bike infrastructure is incredible. Yeah. Ours is incredible. We have people who, biking is, it's not a sport. It's not just a recreation. It's a lifestyle. And it's how you travel everywhere. And so we really wanted to do more. And so when I started here, right in the pandemic, April 2020 is when I started. So I'm about to have my 5th year anniversary.
Wow.
All the transit was closed and all the schools were closed. And so that year we couldn't give through schools because they were closed and schools had their hands full. And so I ended up connecting with all of these nonprofits that served essential workers. They would be organizations like the Literacy Network, the Road Home. There were all these nonprofits. And so we ended up giving 1,100 bikes to adults that year. And so that was really forced our pivot. It was like our forced pivot where we realized, you know, and me coming just from my background that everybody needs a bike and how important they are in the rural community when there are no public transit options. Wow. And so that was really when we started going, wow, we could do so much more, but we'd have to shift this model. And so we ended up changing our name and ending our chapter affiliation December of 23. So we've been an independent organization for just over a year now. And, you guys, I am just so thrilled with our bike distribution map this year, because it starts up at Bad River is the highest point. And then we're giving bikes kind of sprinkling all through the middle of the state. Russ County, which is the poorest county in the state, is getting a load. They're going to come on April 5th. And then all the way down, Milwaukee being our southernmost organization. That's the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee. We'll get bikes over there. So wow. 12 counties it is this year.
Christy, that's amazing. We're here with Christy Goldforth, and your organization is just totally amazing, and we love to have you on. We're going to have you on again, but you are the executive director at Bikes for Kids Wisconsin and just doing great work. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's always a pleasure. Wonderful to see you both, and thanks for all you do and all your work.
Right on. Hey, have a great day and happy first day of spring. Ho-wa.
Yeah, you as well.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Wendy with our sacred animal portion. This, again, is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Go ahead. Do it again, Len.
Stay with us.
Yeah.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
So I speak wolf. When I say no, I go, Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many, many years. She looks a lot younger than she is. And you are a, I want to say, a co-founder of Native Roots Radio. You've been on for 9 years. Welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for the Humane World for Animals, which is formerly the Humane Society of the United States. Yep. I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And it's also my pleasure to always bring awareness for our animals. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Hey, I know this week you were at the Capitol, and it's funny, Robert Lilligren's been keeping an eye on us. He's noticed that we both have been at the Capitol lately a lot. So you were just up there.
I was just up there for Humane Lobby Day. It's once a year, and Humane World for Animals put it on, and we had a lot of good work done, and we, you know, we brought some animal issues that we want to take care of and take. We had also a lot of people there who were vendors in our, who came, and we have one woman. I just want to mention her. Her name was, her name is Paula Flom, F-L-O-M. And she works for this organization that's really interesting to me. It's called Minnesota Horse Welfare Coalition. Yeah. So the Minnesota Horse Welfare Coalition. And she was there advocating for this group and to letting, you know, letting people know what her organization does. And basically what this organization does is it helps keep the horse at home. So if people are having any problems with assist, they, you know, they're experiencing temporary financial problems, right? And they can't like help keep their horse, or they feel like they can't afford their feed, or things are going awry and it's coming down to whether they pay their bills or keep their horse. This organization, Minnesota Horse Welfare Coalition, will work with you and help people keep the horse at home.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that that's really great because I didn't know that, I don't know really anything whatsoever about horses, except that I think that they're beautiful animals. And you know, everybody knows that I love all animals. So of course I love horses as well. But horses are really expensive to keep. I just like Googled, like, how much does it cost to keep a horse, one horse per year?
Oh.
And it really depends on, you know, if you have to board the horse or if you have your own place for the horse, you know, so you have hay, you have feed, you have grains, you have vet care, you have, you know, all this stuff that you have to take care. It can cost anywhere from $6,000 to $15,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, just to keep a horse, you know.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, they also work and they provide technical assistance in support of law enforcement and animal control officers. They investigate abuse and neglect cases.
Wow.
Yeah, so they also will help the officers do that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, unfortunately, like any other animal, dogs, cats, whatever, horses, there are, you know, people who neglect them for whatever reason, if they have mental illness or, you know, or they're just, you know, downright abusing the animal, but they will work with the support of law enforcement to help neglect cases. So, yeah. And they offer expert guidance on policies and laws that impact Minnesota horses and horse owners. So,
what's the name of the organization again?
It is called the Minnesota Horse Welfare Coalition.
And do they have a website, do you know?
They do have a website, and it's too long to say. It's www.minnesotahorsewelfare.org. Yes. And you could, if you know somebody who has a horse that might be having a problem financially, you can email Paula
Flom
at Flom. So it's, that's her name. So Paula, P-A-U-L-A at Flom, F like Frank, L-O-M.com. Really nice and easy. Haley has the information up on our site there, and you could get in touch with her and she will help you help the horses.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
You just never know. I mean, we just had Bikes for Kids on. Just amazing. People are doing amazing things out there. When things are looking dark, there's always a light when we see things like this that are going on in the community.
Exactly. And, you know, because I'm a member of, it was the Humane Society of the United States. It's really hard for me. It doesn't go off my tongue right now. The new name is still, I still have to like read it. I'm just like, I feel kind of funny about it. And it's not really a hard name. It's like Humane World for Animals. Like that's really simple. And
I need a t-shirt.
I shouldn't have a problem with it. Excuse me, I had to clear my voice. But anyway, since I am a policy volunteer, I get a little magazine here. It's called All Animals. And it just gives you a lot of information. I look forward to getting it. I think it's like every like quarterly, and it's just gives you a lot of information about all different kinds of animals. Yeah. And I was just
colorful.
Yeah. Before I came on, I was reading an article, The Secret Lives of Misunderstood Animals.
Oh.
Yeah. But and it really makes sense because in 2011, researchers determined which animals that people think are more charismatic, right?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if you think about a snake, like a snake, for instance.
It's charismatic.
No, it's not. People are afraid of snakes. So after surveying over 4,500 people, they found, listen to these animals, tigers, lions, elephants, and giraffes ranked the highest, right, as charismatic animals, right? And of the top 20 animals participants overwhelmingly favored larger terrestrial mammals. The non-mammals chosen were crocodiles and sharks. But it just goes to show you, like snakes, like I know if I saw a snake in our backyard, I would be afraid of it right away.
Yeah,
you know, that would be my natural reaction. Whether it's a little garden snake or not, I would just be freaked out and run in the house. I wouldn't want to touch it or anything. But only 20% out of all of the snake species in the world are venomous. Like all the rest don't even bother you.
No.
And most of the time, they won't even do anything to you.
Well, there's garden snakes and they garden, right?
Exactly. But I'm saying the snakes are not going to do anything to you unless you go after them or, you know, pin them in a corner or go after them.
What about pigeons?
Oh, yeah, that's on the next page. Yeah, so pigeons, listen to this. And I've talked about pigeons before on this show.
Yeah.
Pigeons delivered military communications during World War I and II. Several birds even received military awards for their work.
Well, they might get DEI and get taken off the website.
Well, really, I know. And then mice, too. Mice get a really bad rap.
I know you'd like that rat from New York.
All right, so there was a video. There's a
Ratatouille.
Video. Did you?
No.
Yeah, there was a video of a woman in the New York City subway, and there's rats down there. I mean, you could see them. Robert and I see them. Yeah. They're down there. They don't come up to you and near you, but this one rat did. The woman picked it up and put it in her bag and took it away with her. We don't know what she was going to do with it, but we're figuring, okay, I guess he's got a good home now.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Jeez, well,
It's really only the way we
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little bit of a spring break, but we got a very special best of episode for you. And look forward to John and Gordy in the seat for the Maggie Dawn Show next week.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump signs an executive order to begin dismantling the Department of Education, on which Congress has the final say. John Vallant with the Brookings Institute.
They can undermine the department's ability to carry out those core functions by basically laying off staff. And so what we've seen is essentially a shrinking of the staff at the department.
The Justice Department misses another deadline to answer a federal judge's questions about last weekend's deportations. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
They sent a lower-level Department of Justice official, perhaps too low, to say they may invoke a state secret defense to avoid answering those questions.
The NTSB issues recommendations for vulnerability assessments of 68 bridges in 19 states. It comes after Chair Jennifer Homendy says of last year's deadly Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore.
MDTA would have known the risk and could have taken action to safeguard the Key Bridge. Had they done that, the collapse could have been prevented.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I'm